Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics, scientists, and UFO people in the world on the program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. Today, we have some very special guests coming on the show. During our first hour, we'll have Lois Berman. She'll be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference from March 6th to the 8th in Gig Harbor, Washington, at the Inn at Gig Harbor. In my opinion, Lois is one of the best psychics in the United States and Canada, and I know you'll really enjoy meeting her. She'll be on in a few minutes. During the next hour, we'll have Dr. Lorraine Hurley. She has a wonderful radio program called Uncommon Awareness. She broadcasts on the Genesis Communications Network out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. She has a wonderful program, and I can't wait to have her on today. We'll be talking about the future of humanity and how conscious thought can affect the planet and society. During the middle of the second hour, we will also be bringing on Michiko Hayashi, the worldwide director of the Emoto Peace Project, live from Tokyo, Japan, to talk about the wonderful work of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, who unfortunately passed away last year. Out of This World Radio is one of the top-rated programs on KKNW in the Seattle area, and we were also one of the fastest-growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. I'm also told by reliable sources that the show has many listeners and supporters off-planet, with the 7 trillion members of the Galactic Alliance, and it's also one of the most popular UFO psychic radio programs in this part of the Milky Way galaxy. So for all my friends on this planet and off-planet, welcome to the show. We're supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper top right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. Even a dollar will really help. And I want to thank everyone for their wonderful donations and support, and especially John Frank and his family in Seattle for supporting my show and the conference we're having next month, as well as Carol Ripsick in Gig Harbor, Jessica and Carl Cook in Gig Harbor, Robin in Seattle, and the wonderful Inn at Gig Harbor, they've bent over backwards to make this conference a big success. For those who'd like to stay at the Inn during the conference, there's a special conference rate. Their phone number, if you'd like to call them, is area code 253-858-1111. And the Galactic Wisdom Conference will be a biannual affair. This is the first one. We plan to have another one in October. The dates have not been finalized yet, but when they are, I'll sure let you know. There's a special discount on registrations for the conference from now until March 1st. We've extended the special of $197 for the three-day event, including free psychic readings with some of the world's best psychics and spiritual healers, such as Jerry Wills, who actually can remove alien implants and help people help cure diseases. Jerry will be giving a special free three-hour healing work session on Saturday night from March 7 to 7, from 7 to 10 p.m. That's all included in the conference. And last October, when I was in Norway, I was at a UFO conference there, and I saw Jerry firsthand remove alien implants from a Norwegian woman who had been implanted by the gray reptilians about 30 years ago. And she was so happy to get those removed. And I saw him do it with my very own eyes. So the proof's in the pudding, and this guy's the real deal. In addition, we will be having Susan Shumsky flying in from New York City. She's considered the world's authority on healing auras and chakras. And for those, for example, who've experienced problems in their love lives due to a damaged or hurt heart chakra, Dr. Shumsky can provide some wonderful healing and advice to those interested. Also, too, for those interested in the scientific and spiritual work of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, Michiko Hayashi and Dr. Yasu Nimoto, who's the chief scientist of the Emoto Peace Project, will be flying in directly from Tokyo, Japan, to give a special work on Saturday, March 7th, on the late Dr. Emoto's wonderful work of love and gratitude. I'm now working on a fundraiser for the printing and distribution of the Emoto Peace Project children's books, and the goal of the program is to teach children between the ages of 3 and 12 the value of living in harmony and love and gratitude, so that when they're adults, perhaps in 15 to 20 years, they'll be far more interested in living harmoniously with their fellow human beings on this planet rather than engaging for perhaps in crime or conflict or in endless Middle Eastern wars, which last for decades. At the conference, of course, we'll be having Lois Berman, and she'll be on in a few minutes. She's amazing, just an amazing psychic. In addition, Phoenix Redhawk, a well-known spiritual leader and healer from Long Island, New York, is flying in. We will also have awesome Seattle psychics Teresa Carroll and Darcy Adams there, and the wonderful Rachel and Robert Zink from the Portland area, who also do healing. And if you can't attend all 3 days, there's a special daily rate of $97 per day. The purpose of this conference is to raise consciousness, not so much to make money, although it's nice to cover expenses for the conference. And that's why I want as many people to attend. And if you're a student or low income or just broke, I'll be happy to give you a 50% discount. Just give me a call on my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'd like, before we start the program in a few minutes, I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been working tirelessly designing my website and providing lots of web support and moral support, and without whose help this program would not have been possible. My dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start this program back in 2013. My friend, dear friend Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. And my friends in the Galactic Alliance have been supporting my show, as well as my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would have not been possible. You can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at www.1150kknw. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com and clicking on any one of our guests. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio. That's TEDMAHR, OTW Radio. And at Facebook at Out of This World Radio. And I think I've talked enough, and I want to bring Lois on board. Lois, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well, and thank you.
It's so good to have you here.
Thanks,
Lois. For my listeners who are tuning in for the first time and not familiar with your wonderful background and incredible work, no, I can't say enough good things about you. I think you're one of the best psychics in North America. And
thank you, Ted.
And I have to tell you, my many listeners around in the United States, Canada, and around the world, Lois often calls me up in the middle of the day, and she'll say something like, "Ted, are you feeling tired today?" Or she'll pick up on my thoughts and give me some good advice. So, but how did you ever become a psychic, Lois? I'm just curious to see how you.
Well, you know, I'm preparing for the lecture that I'm going to give at your conference, and I think one of the things that I want to share with people is that we have information that's stored within us that we really don't pay attention to, and that if we could look at our spiritual DNA, because we all have that, it would encourage us to understand our gifts and the journeys. You know, when I was 3 years old, I lived in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, multicultural. And at 3 years old, I walked into a neighbor's house. I had no idea who she was. And she was rather poor. They lived in one room, and there was a crib. And I walked over to the baby, and at three, I put my hand on this baby's head. And the young mother said, "Be careful." The baby fell and fell on that side of its head. And I had this kind of an adult awareness that for some reason that was a particular moment. When I was 4 years old, my mother used to take me on the train to then the Boston Gardens to see the ice capades.
Wow.
And I would look at the people sitting on the train, and my mother would say to me, "Lois, stop staring." And I would say, "Mommy, I'm not staring. I'm telling them a story." And I had an out-of-body experience when I was four. And I told my grandfather that the man across the street died when I was eight. By the time I was 7 years old, I was able, in my mind, to use my hands as pumps and pump myself and levitate and fly over the neighborhood and fly away from things, quote, just in the nick of time. So having pointing these things out that you really don't pay attention to, it wasn't until I was much older that I realized that I wasn't making up a story looking at people. I was picking up intuitive things. Years later, I had an experience where I was in a car accident, and it came right down to the wire, Ted, that I found help. And it was, and I understood that I could fly over my problems just in the nick of time. So those things became evidence that I had some sort of gift, or that I was on some sort of journey, because I began to trust those kinds of thoughts and understand who I was a little bit more when my journey became more evident and these things occurred to me. So perhaps if you thought that you were doing something as a child that you thought maybe wasn't significant, could be very well significant and change the course of your destiny at some other point.
Well, that's fascinating, Lois. That is just fascinating. I know I've been in touch with the other side for over 20 years now, and now it's normal for me.
Right.
And a lot of
normal
it...
normal for everybody, Ted. But you see, unless we get permission, ironically, this is how human beings work on some level.
Right.
If we don't get permission that we're doing a good job, or we don't get positive reinforcement as a child, then sometimes we lose our inability, because what I learned I was I'm an independent thinker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always thought out of the box, but when I was younger, I was labeled. You know, I had a fourth grade teacher that took me into the office and shook me and told me I was stupid.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, I was dyslexic. And, I mean, you know, I still count on my fingers to this day, but I am not a left-brained person. I'm a right-brained person. So my visual skills and my insight, and also what became apparent is the people that you choose to be in your life as mentors and guides, the first person that I was aware of being a mentor to me was my father. You know, I wanted to be famous. I was young, I knew I was going to be in the limelight. You know, when I was younger, people through my eyes, people looked at me and they said, you know, you look like Barbara Streisand. Unfortunately, some of those people were patients in a mental institution.
Well, it's all right.
It's a true story, Ted. Wow. But my father said to me in junior high school, he said, you're going to go to the local hospital and volunteer. And then when I was a senior in high school, he said to me, you will become a nurse. I went, okay. And I did a lot of different modalities in nursing. And Ted, I was always in the right place at the right time, always. And then my specialty, I went to work for Harvard University in the Department of Psychiatry and became a director of a mental health program. So I thought I had a lot of insight because I was a psych nurse. But I didn't know that I was gifted. That I saw things that other people didn't see. And I talked to people on a level that was more out of the box. And people would tell me things they wouldn't tell their psychiatrist.
Fascinating.
Well, you make people comfortable when you're comfortable with yourself. So the fact that I became a nurse and that I did psychiatric nursing gives me kind of a huge responsibility when I'm doing my psychic work, and when I'm working with people, I take it very seriously, mm-hmm. very responsibly. My purpose, when people ask me what I really do, Ted,
mm-hmm.
I'm a repair worker.
Mm-hmm.
I have not met anybody that doesn't have or had or will have something that's broken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we can understand the journeys that we're on, why we're here, we will get the information that we need mm-hmm. about how to fix things. You know, people throw sure. things away. They sometimes if a person disappoints you or a person is not who you wanted them to be in your life, we tend to throw them away.
Right, right.
And people, you know, unless somebody, well, I didn't quite throw my first husband away, but mm-hmm. I put him away.
You can take the Fifth Amendment now if you like, just make yourself self-incriminating.
Well, I packed his bags.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't commit a crime or anything.
No, he put himself away.
Oh, okay.
but those are also very important relationships in your life.
Sure.
They, you know, I don't want to seem that things are simplistic, mm-hmm. but if we can take a step back and sit down and think about, what was it that I needed to learn? Oh, what did I gain? What was the healing? What was the process? What didn't I know at that time when I married my first husband? Mm-hmm. You know, well, where am I going with this? What works and what doesn't? I became far more comfortable and certainly more productive and successful in my life. And I think that if we can step out of ourselves and not blame ourselves, not criticize ourselves, and look at what we have accomplished, even if it's just one little thing a day.
Sure, sure, sure. I want to share a little vignette with my many listeners and ask you about this. You know, often we run into obstacles in life where things you plan on sometimes don't work out, or you're planning a trip somewhere and sometimes there's lots of obstacles. And you told me something very important the other day. We spoke on the phone, Lois, and I want to just kind of refresh memory. Sometimes if things aren't meant to work out, that they won't. And there's and the guides and the spirits and your guardian angels actually put blocks in front of plans or a trip or something so that it doesn't work out. And it's usually for a reason, but you don't realize it till later. Remember, I'd love to have you explain a little bit more about that, if you could, because I think that's useful to people.
Well, you know what I like in my life, Ted, is evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like evidence, and we sure. are our own evidence. We okay. are our own specialists,
mm-hmm.
and if we pay attention to what's important to us and learn from it,
mm-hmm.
I have been on the show several times, and mm-hmm. I have talked about being a survivor of a drunk driver. I had a head-on collision,
mm-hmm.
and I spent 6 years trying to find someone to help me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got misdiagnosed, and I got mistreated,
mm-hmm.
and I got shut down for 6 years mm-hmm. by lots of different people.
Mm-hmm.
In lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of this 6-year journey, I was unable to walk. I was losing control of my body. I stopped driving my car because I had no reflexes.
Oh, no.
And I was in excruciating pain. I said to God one night, God, don't you know I'm suffering?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And my daughter said to me, Mommy, why can't you walk? I said, I don't know, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And eventually I said, you know, I went to a psychiatrist who said I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, do not send me a bill for this, and aren't you clever?
Mm.
So I decided I needed to take some responsibility and some control and go to a rehab hospital. Spalding Rehab in Boston, which is very famous, where a lot of the unfortunate victims from the Marathon bombing went.
Oh, yes.
It specializes in mm-hmm. chronic pain and mm-hmm. Body injury.
Mm-hmm.
And this doctor said to me, Lois, you're not crazy, but you're dying. And I said, thank you. And he sent me to a doctor at a clinic out of Boston where my mother wanted me to go 2 years before that, and I said no.
Mm-hmm.
My poor mother. Mm-hmm. She said, Lois, why don't you want to go? I said, it doesn't feel right. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, my God, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt her pain.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I had to say no. And I had to stand up against all of that to say no, Ted.
Right. Right.
So 2 years later, I went to that hospital my mother wanted me to go to, and I met this doctor. Now, here's the important thing. I went 2 years later, and I met this doctor who was doing spinal cord injury research.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him 4 months after he learned a spinal cord procedure. I had an experiment done.
Mm-hmm.
I was the second person that he did this on. I had 5 hours of reconstructive surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had 6 years of people telling me I was crazy. There was nothing wrong with me. They took x-rays. They couldn't find anything. They made me feel inferior. They made me feel desperate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They made me feel I was losing function. I was dying.
Mm-hmm.
But when I met this particular doctor, now I could have gone to other doctors who said they didn't know what was wrong with me, or one doctor said, you have something wrong with you and I don't know how to fix it. And I said, thank you to all of that, Ted.
Huh, interesting.
So when I met Dr. Friedberg, he went 1 inch higher into my neck, up into my cervical neck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he found out I had a piece of bone that was broken.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a pendulum. It was severing my spinal cord.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I was actually one cable or one thread away from dying.
Oh, my gosh.
Or being as paralyzed as Christopher Reeve was
mm-hmm.
from my neck down.
Wow. Wow.
But he learned a procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had was a muscle transplant. And
mm-hmm.
5 hours of reconstructive surgery.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So here's the reality of my evidence, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 6 years listening to myself, thinking out of the box, trusting my intuition, trying to get people to understand my belief in myself, learning to trust my visions, learning to trust my goals,
mm-hmm.
and I found this doctor, finally, who learned a procedure that saved me from dying or being paralyzed. So
wow.
How can I now be disappointed when something doesn't happen when I want it to?
Sure.
Or if something doesn't happen, it wasn't the right thing, but I learned, you know, it wasn't the right time.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. But it makes a lot of sense now in retrospect. But at the time, I'm sure your mother was very frustrated with you, Lois, that you didn't go in and see, you know, what in her mind was good
That's
medical
right.
help. Sure.
But I had to learn to deal with that, Ted. I had to say, I'm sorry. You're going to have to trust me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my mother came to me later and she said, thank God you did that, Lois.
Wow.
But she also learned now about trusting herself, trusting me,
mm-hmm.
and it also gave my daughter an understanding of how important it is to be an independent thinker, to think out of the box.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
And now the reason why, well, I guess what I heard myself say to you is
mm-hmm.
the reason why I am so powerful, Ted,
mm-hmm.
is that I've done the work. Mm-hmm. I'm not just giving you a reading about what I think. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you information that I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not only do I give you kind of a psychic reading, mm-hmm. but I give you the tools and the skills mm-hmm. that I pick up around you, perhaps from this lifetime or from another lifetime,
mm-hmm.
that will help repair what is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can, you have to repair yourself, Ted. I mean, I needed help doing it,
right.
but I had to learn that I needed to repair it first. I needed to repair my confidence. I needed to repair my visions. I needed to repair trusting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to understand the power of saying yes. To
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple days ago, we had spoken on the phone, and I told you that I was feeling overwhelmed by the conference I'm having next month.
Right.
And you said for me, and a very good advice, you said, Ted, you know, some things you can do on your own. You're trying to do this all on your own. You need some help. Ask for volunteers. And I've had
right.
wonderful people come out and help me. I want to thank everyone for doing that. Also, too, I'd like to repeat it now. I've gotten some wonderful people helping me with the conference, but if you would like to help out on the conference, and it just means passing out some flyers and also maybe showing up at the Inn of Gig Harbor on the 6th, 7th, and 8th and just helping with registration, simple things, I'll waive the registration fees for you, and you can come to the conference for free for a day or the entire weekend. Just give me a call at on my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. But I just wanted to repeat that for everyone because
thank you. Ted, while you were giving out that message, there are certainly a tremendous amount of people that are listening to you today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are one or two people that are listening to you at this very moment, and a specific message to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that one of them wants to go to school, change schools, change a direction in their journey.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps someone wants to start a new business, or there's somebody that really would like to pick up and move across the country.
Okay.
I'm going to tell them to follow that and to do that because you don't have to do anything, but I would like you to understand that I had a past lifetime as a person that was crippled.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that, talking about the beginning of the conversation, about little things that I experienced growing up.
Right.
When I was in nursing school, I went to Boston Children's Hospital as a student nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And they had those iron lungs because it was right after the polio epidemic.
Oh, right. I remember those, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was the shortest kid in every class I ever went to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I went into an iron lung, and I freaked out.
Wow.
And I'm not claustrophobic.
Wow.
But I had an incredible reaction, and I thought, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Years later, thinking out of the box as an independent thinker,
mm-hmm.
it occurred to me that I had a past lifetime where I was a person that was handicapped, crippled.
Wow.
And I did not find anyone to help me, nor did I help myself. So the reason why I had this particular car accident was to teach myself to help and repair myself and find someone who knew how to help me.
Wow.
And that helped me move on my journey and keep the trust and faith in the fact that I would meet someone to help me at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told me that thought process, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I chose it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You understand that?
I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people choose their thinking from advice, which is it was perfectly fine.
Right.
But when it comes down to the bottom line, what works for you, what's comfortable for you. If you came up to me and you gave me some advice that felt right to me,
mm-hmm.
and it worked and I could understand it, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
But for those 6 years, I went to the top-notch doctors. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm in Boston, the medical mecca of the world.
Great.
And I'm saying to these doctors, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. Lois, I hate to interrupt you, my friend, but I just wanted to make a station announcement. For those who are just tuning in, this is Ted Marr with Out of This World Radio. We're having a wonderful interview with Lois Berman. Coming from Boston, she's a wonderful psychic who will be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference next month, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. And Lois, I just want to take a few minutes break. I'd like to play two promos for some supporters of the show, and then we'll come back in about 2 minutes, friends. Please stay tuned. Hello, friends. I'd like to introduce a wonderful friend of mine, Juliana, who's got a wonderful new shop in downtown Tacoma at 6765 Broadway called Inspired. Juliana, please tell my listeners all about your wonderful shop.
Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to be there. We have a wonderful shop in the Antique Row in the Historic Theater District of downtown Tacoma. We specialize in beautiful crystal jewelry, gifts, tarot cards, artwork, and a lot of other things. A lot of our items are handmade and very special, and we buy from all over the world. Folks can schedule a reading, sign up for one of our engaging classes, or enjoy one of our exciting events. We do a lot of community events, and we offer a lot of unique and unusual workshops here. We're located in the Antique Row in a historic theater district of downtown Tacoma. We're easily accessible from the freeway, and there's lots of parking in the area, so super easy to get to. We're placed among the unique stores in Antique Row, and folks can come down and have a wonderful afternoon shopping in the area and having a wonderful meal at a local cafe as well. So we're located at 765 Broadway in Tacoma. All folks can come and visit us on our website, www.inspirednewage.com. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 11 to 6. And be inspired. That is definitely our logo, and we certainly follow that. We dedicate ourselves to creating an uplifting experience from the moment folks walk in and hopefully throughout all of their subsequent visits.
Wonderful, Juliana. And I want to tell people it's very easy to get there. I visited their shop here a few days ago. If you're coming from the north, from Seattle, you simply take the city center exit. You take, a left on A Street, take a right on Broadway. Is that correct to get there?
Yeah, you take the A Street exit, and you go left on 9th Avenue, and then you go right on Broadway.
Okay.
And it's super easy to find. We're just a couple of doors down from that corner.
Okay, Juliana. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful gift shop. I've been there, friends, and it's a wonderful place. And I urge all my listeners to please visit Juliana's shop.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Get ready to raise your vibrational frequency. Tune in every Thursday, 12 noon, for Conquest Consciousness. I'm Jacqueline Conquest, metaphysician with over 30 years professional private practice. Each week, we'll talk dreams, energy medicine, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and more, and have exciting guests on the cutting edge of heart expansion and the timely evolution in consciousness. For more information, visit JacquelineConquestMystic.com. That's Conquest Consciousness every Thursday at noon.
Needing some inspiration, motivation, more creative flow, or want to remove blocks to unleash your full potential and manifest abundance in your life? Whether it's a new business venture, discovering your life's purpose, or attracting your soulmate, let Jacqueline Conquest, psychotherapist and hypnotherapist, help you get instant results. Call 206-303-9482 and visit JacquelineConquestMystic.com for more information.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Hello, friends. We're back on the air again. I just wanted to play those two promos from my friends Juliana down in Tacoma. She has a wonderful shop, and Jackie Conquest. Jackie Conquest is a wonderful person. I actually will be on her show this coming Thursday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and we'll not only me, but also Jerry Wills will be on the air along with Scott Lemriel, and we'll be talking about the Galactic Wisdom Conference. That's 6 days from now, next Thursday. Also, too, as far as supporters, and I want to thank the Tacoma News Tribune for their interest in both my radio station and in the conference. They will be coming out with a story soon on the conference, but I'll stay tuned. I can tell you more about that later. Lois, are you there?
Yes, I am.
One question that I often get from people interested in psychic phenomena are their past lives and how that affects them currently. I was told, for example, by Dolores Cannon back in the 90s that I was a banker in Indiana during the 1850s, and I always used to wear stripes. So today, guess what I like wearing? Stripes. I've got actually got a dark pants on, but they've got stripes on them. So I've got shirts with stripes. I like stripe candy. It's kind of funny how the past influences your present. Could you share with some information with that from just it might be interesting for our listeners?
Well, when I was around 4 years old, my mother used to have this outfit that she would dress me in that was my favorite outfit, which mm-hmm. was white knee socks, black patent leather shoes, mm-hmm. and a white pinafore dress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I went to nursing school,
mm-hmm.
I did a lot of things that the other student nurses never did. I was always in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I knew things before they happened.
Wow.
And I didn't know how I knew them. Mm-hmm. I knew them, but they came from some place where I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was in class one day, and I said to myself, I really need to know this because someday someone's life is going to depend on me.
Sure.
So as I got more involved in my psychic work, there was a friend of mine who did past life regressions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never had a past life regression before. I had no idea what it entailed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this particular person, and it was really quite relaxing. I sat down. I lay down, you know, quote, on the couch. And I went through a meditation, and what she did was she had me look like I was sitting on a cloud.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And she said, now open the cloud, spread the cloud open, and what is it that you see?
Mm-hmm.
Under the cloud.
Sure.
So I looked and I saw a horse, my Boston accent, a horse,
mm-hmm.
and a horse and buggy.
Uh-huh.
My name was Brown. I was a country doctor.
Wow.
And I had two daughters. And I died of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And these two daughters wore white pinafore dresses, white knee socks, and black patent leather shoes.
Fascinating.
Now, if I was going to think of a past lifetime, I don't think that I would think about an outfit that I wore when I was four.
Right.
And ironically, part of my nursing career, I was a visiting nurse. You know, you go into people's homes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like the country doctor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Been there, done there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wow.
And I had to give up my nursing career
mm-hmm.
because of being disabled in the car accident. I was in it long enough for me to get a different education in psychiatry, but that was over. I was just a nurse for a short period of time because I needed that information for this journey that I was taking.
Okay.
So when I was talking before about giving some messages to people about making changes in their lives, one of the reasons why you can believe that
mm-hmm.
and that you're thinking that for a reason
mm-hmm.
is because you brought that assignment with you in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So you already established it. You just have to follow the journey and make it happen. Now, according to some past lifetimes, there are things that you start finish in one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that you start that you don't finish.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the beginning journeys of each lifetime is that you need closure from some of the things that you didn't finish from another lifetime.
Interesting. Interesting. I had Ray Chandran on, a wonderful and famous Japanese remote viewer and psychic, on my show about a month ago, Lois. And he said that my radio show was actually a continuation of work that I had started in Atlantis 12 or 13,000 years ago.
Sure.
And as a priest there and raising consciousness. Of course, back then, Atlantis imploded and the civilization destroyed itself. But this time along, I don't want that to happen. I want to help raise consciousness. But he said that my radio station and the Galactic Conference, in attempting to raise consciousness and make this planet a better place, is a continuation of the work that I started 12, 13,000 years ago.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. But you're talking about past lives and how people continue on with their work this current life.
Right. Sometimes people start a career,
mm-hmm.
and halfway through it, or years later, they go, this is not something I want to do.
Sure.
Or that's why at some point you might say to yourself, you know, I think I want to move to California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just have an inkling, or you have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, sometimes people say, I became a teacher because it's my calling.
Sure.
Those things were established well before you got here. And ironically, the parents that we have in this lifetime are people from other times that you need to have unfinished work with,
mm-hmm.
or beginning new work with.
Sure.
Or I chose this father in this lifetime,
right.
because it was my father who said to me, you will become a nurse.
Hmm.
And my father and I had an extraordinary relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was one of my best supporters.
Fantastic. Wow. What a gift you are, Lois, to share this wonderful, interesting information with my audience. I just really appreciate your insights.
Also, I think what I would like to share with you is that, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we all know, well, no, mm-hmm. we don't always know, mm-hmm. but I think some of us understand the gifts that we have.
Right.
And there was one afternoon, we have a wonderful park where I live. There's a lake. You walk around the lake and the birds, and it's just extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this great rock. I sat down on the rock,
mm-hmm.
and in one moment, I had this overwhelming experience,
mm-hmm.
that I was chosen to do this work in this lifetime,
oh.
and that I was really, truly gifted.
Wow, interesting.
But I also had to say thank you. I had to accept that knowledge,
sure.
because without accepting it, okay, I wasn't energizing it.
Sure, sure.
I had to acknowledge it. I had to assume that responsibility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was so overwhelming that it made me cry.
Wow, wow.
And I think one of the other things I learned about through all of this journey, Ted,
mm-hmm.
is that it doesn't make any difference if you, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of keep it simple.
Right.
But you also have to understand, when we talked earlier about knowing how to ask for help,
right. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I learned was that if you really want something and you do the work,
right.
and at some point you go to God or your higher power, whatever that means,
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, I am ready. I'm God, I'm letting you know I am ready.
Sure.
By doing that, you have let God know that you're willing to take the responsibility, you've done the work, and God will give you what it is that you're asking for because you have let him know,
mm-hmm.
that you're willing to take it on. Otherwise, why would he give you something that you're not really going to take on and waste it?
Sure, that makes perfect sense. Sure.
So part of asking, Mm-hmm. For the help is letting God know that you're ready. And when you know that you're ready, okay, then not in that very moment, but watch what happens.
Sure.
You know those things that kind of come to you out of the clear blue sky?
Right.
Or all of a sudden your whole life changes?
Right. Right.
Because you've asked for the help, and God will send it at the proper time. God sent me to Dr. Friedberg when he knew Dr. Friedberg learned his assignment and how to help me.
Wow, wonderful.
Now, you have had a past lifetime I see differently.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you had a past lifetime. In Asia.
Okay.
And you were one of those gifted children.
Okay.
And you were sent to like a temple to worship, to be a teacher.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But you were there in silence. You learned things in silence. It was a place where people didn't talk. So you spent a lot of time in your head. And no one ever said to you, yes, Ted, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So in this lifetime, part of your assignment is to tell yourself that, yes, Ted, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And to give yourself permission. And that even though you have a talk show and you do a great job with it,
mm-hmm.
you don't often share your inner feelings with people. You listen and you help others.
True.
But you have a difficulty with your own communication.
Hmm.
And so part of what your assignment is, which is why you have the radio show,
mm-hmm.
is to learn to communicate on other levels.
Interesting. Interesting.
Now, does that make sense to you?
It makes total sense. And as you spoke about the previous life in Asia, I can see China, and I'm a Buddhist, actually, a student of Buddhism, and I've got a dark kind of a burgundy red robe on, and it's very silent. People are not allowed to talk. And it's all in your mind. I spend a lot of time actually thinking about things now, of course. I grew up as an only child, and so, but I had had plenty of time to think. And even now, I think all the time on my own.
See, the lesson here for you now is too much thinking and not enough action.
I see. Okay. Interesting.
You know, we all need to think.
Right.
You know, and we all need to study.
Right.
But at what point do you say, I need to take action?
Right.
Because nothing is going to change without positive action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can sit and read 1,000 books, and you can know 1,000 things.
Sure, sure.
What are you going to do about it?
Right, right. Well, when I started this radio program back in 2013, some months before I started the program, I was approached by one homeless gentleman in a library and another gentleman in another library where I was reading, and I was actually on the phone, and they both came up to me out of the blue and said, you have a wonderful radio voice, I really like what you're saying, and you need to be on radio and writing.
Right.
And it hit home to me, and so finally that's when I started this program back in late 2013. But,
right, and something else here, Ted.
Uh-huh.
As that young child studying, theoretically, you understood spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
But practically, putting it into use, you didn't do it.
No.
Because you weren't allowed to think for yourself.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You had to follow the rules.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So you have difficulty thinking out of your own box. Do you understand that?
Sort of. Yeah, I guess I'm constrained by my own belief system. Is that it?
Right. Well, you, in many ways, Ted, you're very confident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in many ways, it not that you're not confident, but you spend too much time questioning what you're doing.
Okay.
And so you don't follow through. And when you don't follow through, you don't get the lesson.
Oh, I see.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and welcome to the club, honey.
Okay. Right. 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 Right.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, and see, the thing is, when you're an independent thinker, or you think out of the box, or you use your intuitive thought process, some of it, it's like, where does this come from? We have to, you know, it's like, okay, I think this because of this.
Right.
But when you're out of the box, or when you're that independent thinker, part of the problem is you have to choose what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If some of it is not told to you, some of it has to come from within. That's your true journey.
Mm.
That's your true soul. That's your authentic being.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's hard when people look at you and go, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so that's where your confidence comes in of saying, and you know, the other thing is, you know, you might think something and it's wrong. So
right.
What?
Right. Right, right. Well, I have to tell you, my own psychic journey started a number of years ago when I went to see a tarot reader, and he sat me down, he spread his cards out, Lois, it's a very funny story, and then he said to me, looked at me straight, and I said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here for a reading. He says, you can do the same thing I can do right now. You're as good as I am. And I looked at him, and he said, you just need confidence. That's all you need.
Right.
And he said, you just need confidence, and you can do what I'm doing, and even better. And I remembered that gentleman. That was some years ago before I started doing readings.
Well, you know something?
Mm-hmm.
One day, a friend of mine, after my car accident, it was hard to get around, and she said, I'm going to take you to lunch, and I'm going to take you to a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I went, what's a psychic? What's psychic? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
And this woman told me that I was psychic.
Oh, wow.
And then I read this book called The Psychic Healing Book by Amy Wallace.
Right. Right.
And I went, oh, my God, that's what I am.
Wow. Wonderful.
I mean, I knew I had insight.
Right.
But I thought it was because I was this great psychiatric nurse.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
You know, I mean, I had great insight, but it was more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I kind of read it, I went, oh, this is what this is.
Sure, sure, sure. Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well,
but then I had to learn how to use it.
Right, right, right. Well, I think everyone has the psychic ability, and they're actually born with it. Society, however, often tells people that it doesn't exist, especially children when they're growing up. I think things are getting better now, but for a lot of kids, they're especially when they're very young, they're often in touch with spirits on the other side. It's much easier for them until they're told by society or their parents that they really don't see their invisible friends.
Right, right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
But,
well, that was like when I was, you know, on the train, my mother would say, "Stop steering."
Oh, interesting.
And I said, "No, I'm telling them a story."
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Lois, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I just wanted to just make a quick announcement, and then I want to give you the rest of the time, Lois, to kind of wrap up your wonderful interview. The next hour, we'll be having Dr. Lorraine Hurley of Boston on the show. She has a wonderful radio program called Uncommon Awareness. And then in the middle of the next hour, we'll be bringing on Michiko Hayashi of the wonderful, she's the worldwide director of the Emoto Peace Project, live from Tokyo, Japan. And the next hour's conversation will be about how consciousness does affect our reality and how we can make this whole planet a better place. And Lois, I can't wait to meet you next month when you're here at the conference.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to it, Ted. Thank you. And I would like to leave people with a very simple message.
Okay.
You know, some of the things that I've talked about today seem rather simplistic.
Right.
They don't seem powerful. Well, you know, that's just a story.
Right.
But we have, in this human being, this space that we're in, we tend to make things very complicated.
Right.
And we all want answers. you may not get your answer until you take a positive action. Mm-hmm. And you may not get your answer for 2 weeks down the road.
True.
So if you can understand the power of your gut and the power of your thought process and the power of your dreams and your wishes, that's really all you need to move forward, to become successful, and to create what you want. You're not here for failing. You're here maybe to make a mistake as a learning lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure,
you're all worthy, you're all valuable, and if you can pass along the value of yourself and the worthiness, mm-hmm, that you have learned, and you heal it forward.
Lois, I'm sorry, my friend, we've run out of time, but I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for coming on today, my friend.
Soon. Thanks, everybody.
Take care.